Hello, Scorpio, and welcome to your 2014-2015 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis. I'm the astrologer who will be guiding you through this very interesting, unusual, and I would dare to say powerful astrology that you are going through right now. I'll be covering, hopefully, everything that you are inquisitive about, curious about, and also a few other things. I'm not working from an outline. I am working from some charts, and I've got some thoughts that are sketched out. And I think that, you know, for this reading, the first thing to get into is the presence of Saturn that's been in your sign now for 2 years. And, you know, as I've suggested about Saturn and other planets, it's always at the end of the run that that the pressure really seems to be on the most, where the feeling of we really have to get on with this and get into something new is existing. And now we're there for a while. Then as well, there is the eclipse that began your birthday season, that eclipse just hours after the sun ingressed Scorpio. And then there is also the gradually building conjunction of Mars, the traditional ruler of Scorpio, and Pluto, the modern ruler of Scorpio. I know that most astrology websites and columnists and even authors kind of skip over the association between Mars and Scorpio. I choose not to and work with both as the rulers of Scorpio. And at the moment, they are in a conjunction. And that is a conjunction that exists in the solar return chart of every single person born under the sign Scorpio that there is. There will be a great closer or further conjunction, but those planets are close together and will be in Capricorn. And that is that's unusual. That is a lot of focused, concentrated Scorpionic energy expressing itself through a sign other than Scorpio. So we're going to talk about that as well. So the chart's going to guide me on this process, and I always come out somewhere different than I was expecting to. There's almost always some unusual kind of turn in the storyline, and so that's why I just go with the flow. Okay, so let's talk about Saturn in your sign. That happened initially, began in the autumn of 2012. So it's a two-year thing. It dates back to 2012, which was an unusual year. That was the year that the Uranus-Pluto square began, Pluto being the modern ruler of Scorpio, and therefore taking a long square from Uranus, a kind of an extended wake-up call. And then just as this was getting going, Saturn changed signs from Libra and entered Scorpio. And this added a different kind of energy to the mix. I mean, because, for example, if we're using one of your ruling planets as a significator for you, in this case Pluto, taking the square from Uranus is high energy and erratic and fast. There's fast developments, and there may have been some very fast developments in 2012, particularly in late 2012. And then, when Saturn entered the picture, that can have, initially anyway, a way of slowing things down. But Saturn is a little bit like the tortoise and the hare. It slows things down in order to win the race. And that race is not really a race, but that's the metaphor from that old fable. And there is a necessity for progress in our particular world. There is, whether we consider it optional or mandatory or a particular quirk of our particular world, Earth, this dimension, cosmic physical plane, there is a need for improvement. And Saturn is very much concerned with making those improvements, with getting a kind of a habit of reckoning. Saturn in one's own sign can be a very heavy transit. That's, I guess, the best word to use for it. Many people experience Saturn in their sign in a way that is depressive. And all depressive means is pressing down, pushing down. And that can be the sensation of Saturn. Saturn also comes with a take this seriously vibe. And there is almost always a focus on improvement in business and in career, wherever you happen to have whatever house Scorpio is in your chart, because even though you're born with the sun in Scorpio, depending on what time of day you are, you can have Scorpio in the first house if you're born in the morning, or the seventh if you're born in the evening. You can have it in the 10th if you're born at noon. And no matter what that house signifies, you know, maybe you're born with the sun in the third house and you are focused on writing, Saturn will still have a kind of effect of making a focus on your professional skills, your vocational calling, depending on how you look at the work that you do. But all of those kind of benefits of Saturn can have a way of getting lost in the sensation of pressure and this feeling of not knowing when this sense of pressure is going to let up, and it can get to the point where you don't know if it ever will. I'm sure that you might have come to that once or twice thinking, is this just a way that I have to live the rest of my life? And the answer is no. You've got Saturn conjunct your sun, or conjunct your ascendant, or perhaps conjunct your moon, and the effect is going to be similar in any case. There's going to be a similar sense of, necessity and a sense of urgency, a sense of being under the influence of something. I mean, Saturn is a very palpable transit that can be felt, and it brings these things that seem like lessons. And the question is often, when are those lessons going to end? Now, Saturn conjunct the Sun was one of the first transits that I ever learned about as an astrology student. It was even before I was formally an astrology student. I don't think I had bought my ephemeris yet. I was still getting all of my astrological direction from the Patrick Walker horoscope, which was so good you could kind of use it as a very simplistic almanac and also have interpretations coming from that particular column. And I spoke to some astrologer in my community who I am not sure I ever spoke to again, but I called her up and said, you know, that I was interested in astrology, and that'll often, you know, get you 15 minutes with any astrologer if you're really interested in the work itself. And I said, yeah, I've just finished my Saturn return. I have Saturn in late Aquarius. Now I've got Saturn in my sign. What do you think that's about? And she said, well, that's about coming to fundamental terms with who you are, gaining a bottom line understanding of and coming to terms with who you are. So that was the first time I ever was handed the meaning of a transit, except maybe the Saturn return, right? Because, you know, we all know a little bit about that who have an interest in astrology. And then for the next couple of years, I had Saturn moving through Pisces conjunct my Sun, and it was at that point that I made some very big life decisions and really had to clean up my act in a lot of ways. And I had a major career change. You know, I went from a career anticipated as an investigative reporter, and at that time became an astrologer, and very quickly became one full time. And one of the things that Saturn can grant is the ability of decisions to stick. We all know this kind of phenomenon where decisions get made, we make decisions, but then they just don't quite seem to hang out like we thought they would. You know, I decided this already. How is it, I've committed to this, and then you're not doing it. Well, when Saturn is in the neighborhood, one of the best things about it is that it is possible to make the changes stick. And one of the things that Saturn does by kind of sitting on you for a while, kind of like that elephant in the TV commercial, kind of crazy illustration of a little baby elephant sitting on people's chests, that sense of pressure can serve as a way to basically enforce changes and make sure that the structure becomes internalized. And speaking of that, I think it's worth restating what I think the Saturn principle is, which is something I've learned from reading a lot of astrology materials and then from just living out the Saturn principle in a lot of ways, which is something of the thing that I think people strive to learn in therapy, which is to take on the role of the one who assigns the structure in life. It's to be one's own skeleton, basically. You could say to have a spine. One of the, you know, common ways that people live, and really this is true in many parts of the world, it's not just in the United States, so we do have a special issue here because there is not an accepted concept of maturity, and we have quite a few people who live like there is no such thing. And so we tend to live in a society full of people who don't embrace the concept of maturity, and then for whom maturity is a kind of an arduous, onerous, painful thing. And this is often something that will emerge at the time of a Saturn transit, where it's just time to be mature. It's just time to take responsibility. The Saturn principle, as I see it, is the internalization of the structuring force. So, for example, you know, we know there are many people who kind of never quite grow up. They live with their parents a while, and their parents don't necessarily encourage them to be mature or independent people. And then when it comes time to have a relationship, they'll choose a relationship with someone who then continues the function of holding the structure for them and basically allowing existence to kind of stabilize on a level of immaturity, because that structure is held around someone. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, someone who never has a bank account and their spouse manages their bank account. These days, potentially equally true for men or women, so that doesn't really have any bias as far as I can tell. And even if everyone has a bank account, or if the family shares one, you know, the partnership shares one, one person manages it and knows that the other person just wouldn't be able to do this without help. And they're that help, and part of the basis of the relationship becomes that external providing of structure. The Saturn principle is, I'm going to learn how to do this myself. I'm going to take over this particular function. This is a lifelong process. There are many stages we go through where we must learn to run our own lives, basically, which is, you might think of as one of the keynotes of Saturn, and not give away our power and have someone else run our life. And it is worth noting that the process of taking back your power from a situation where the initial intent was to provide a structure for you, to or for you to provide a structure for someone else, which is quite similar, actually, it can be challenging. I mean, let's say in the case of, you know, you assign someone the role of holding a structure for you, they might not like it if you are deciding to claim your maturity and take full responsibility for your existence. You may run into some resistance there. And did I say take responsibility for your existence? Yes, which can lead to resistance from others who in some way are not moving, who are not, you know, benefiting from from this, and who themselves will need to take on more adult roles in their own lives. And so this process of internalizing the Saturn principle, of not being the exoskeleton of a crab, but rather the skeleton of a vertebrate, which is inside the skin and bones, inside the skin and muscles of a person. A vertebrae can stand up on their own feet and has a back and a you know, some strength there that is internal. And so this is the Saturn principle. It is the principle of internalizing structure. Now, this means change. And one thing to always remember about Scorpio is that it is a fixed sign. And the fixed signs are probably the most difficult to understand if you're an astrology student, because they represent the things that do not change or change very slowly. And then at the same time, they can represent almost tectonic forces for change. And so whatever fixed sign one happens to be born under, there is a process of mastering the experience of fixity, of what do you do with that tendency to not change. Now, with Saturn in your sign, seemingly, you know, making you internalize the thing that it represents, that can also come with this sensation of what Patrick Walker eloquently, among the many elegant ways he described something, described as enforced changes. Scorpio is not that quick to change. It can really remain, as you know, very stable and want to remain stable for a long time, and has a tendency to kind of get the world to bend around it. And there can be a series of compromises that are made, but there's almost always that bottom line that you're watching that you're willing to trade everything except that bottom line, or exchange everything, or compromise everything, but that bottom line stays the same. And with Saturn so present in your life, you know, conjunct one of the three major points in your chart at the very least, and planets like to group together. And now in the sky, Saturn is in a grand conjunction with, you know, a lot of planets. As of the, let's see now, I'm looking at the chart for the 10th. As of the full moon, I'm recording just before the full moon, we are looking at Pallas, the Sun, Venus, and Saturn all in Scorpio as that Mars-Pluto conjunction approaches. That is a lot of pressure to change. It is also a test of how much you have changed, and yet, especially where Scorpio is concerned, there can be this sensation of really needing to take the shape that your environment is pushing you into, and yet that shape is very much a thing that is mediated from the inside. So the Saturn principle can sometimes be an external force, but it can also be, very often, must be taken on as an internal force. And so there's an interplay between the external force and the internal force of Saturn, and the thing that you may be doing and kind of having the most challenge with is balancing between the necessity coming from the outside and the necessity that's coming from the inside. And at times those things may seem to conflict with one another, and it's not that easy to honor them both, but I assure you that you will be able to manage the necessities of both, and even beyond that, be able to make some real decisions that have lasting benefit and strength for you. This really is what growth is all about. I mean, the whole point, for example, of going to therapy, to give one example of a cultural growth mode that we at least admit exists, though there's a lot of people who just, you know, refuse to do that and they want to go it alone, is to teach you how to be your own parent, where instead of deferring that parental function to the world and giving it up to others to kind of be your mom or your dad or to provide some structure where it's necessary for you to be the person who attends to your needs, to be the person who takes care of yourself, to be the person who makes your own decisions. This is really a big one, because it is very easy to delegate the power of decisions and then therefore to delegate the responsibility for the outcomes of those decisions. You can always say, well, this person made this decision for me. It was a bad decision, but I didn't make it. They did. But you did make the decision to delegate, you know, for example. And taking that back comes with special challenges. And it's part of the overall huge challenge of a Saturn transit. But there are, you know, more intense planets than Saturn. And I would think that the impression that I'm getting is that we are all benefiting from this Saturn in Scorpio transit, even though it's coming at some cost, even though there is a loss in some respects. At the end of this transit, which will be in about 10 months from now, because Saturn is going to make a long transition into Sagittarius. It's very unusual for Saturn to take this long to change signs, that we will ultimately gain more things that were not able to be taken seriously, things where there just was the lacking of maturity or the lacking of attentiveness, not enough time spent learning, will gradually we'll kind of wake up to the fact that, finally something has changed. And there's a lot that needs to change in our society, in the places where Scorpio acts as a cultural influence, right? Think of how stupid and petty the conversation about sex so often is. And think about the ways in which really, I watched this one pretty carefully. In just 2 years, the whole tone and content of the conversation about sex has shifted to a awareness that we have to actually treat this like a real subject, not just some thing that's off to the side and not subject to any political influences. I mean, in just these past 2 years, for example, we have seen the momentum and the gathering of social force on the issue of same-sex marriage. And however one may feel about marriage, the notion that one is not automatically at a disability because they, for whatever reason, have same-sex emotional and sexual relationships, that is huge. I've been reading about the history of homosexuality lately, and it is just absolutely vicious. Until very recently, was considered criminal behavior and psychiatric behavior. And in just half a century, just a mere half a century, really, there were, you know, I was studying some stuff from the year I was born, 1964. It's now 50 years. We are at a point now where this topic is taken seriously in urban communities, in rural communities. And I think there is a parallel with all dimensions of the sexual conversation. And if you think of that as an example of something in the world that also exists within individuals that just is so hard to change, and yet then all of a sudden it seems like there is actual change, and that change is going to stick. We know that. We know this discussion is basically over. People can rant and rave, but that's just sort of like the after-the-game show. The conversation's over on same-sex marriage. And I think that is something that is positive for everyone, ultimately. Now, think of what in your life has some equivalent where the you just couldn't ground the conversation in a real way. The presence of Saturn is focusing that grounding of that conversation. Now, on the subject of conversation, I'm going to cover one more topic, and then we will. I'll take a break and we'll move on to the sign change of Saturn, and then a diversity of other transits, including Chiron in the fifth house. The thought process that a person has, the language that they use, and the means of communication are factors of the third house. And for Scorpio or Scorpio rising, the third house is Capricorn. If you're Scorpio rising, the third house, counting whole signs as the whole house, Scorpio is the third. And if you are just reading from the point of view of your sun, Scorpio is your solar third house. And for those of you who know your natal chart and are wondering how it can be possible that both your natal chart and your solar chart can work at once, or your proper, you know, Placidus houses and also whole sign houses, the thing about astrology is that it tells the same story many different ways, and it's not like there is some absolute bottom line true chart. It's all about how you read whatever chart you have. So with that in mind, let's consider the third house, which is in your chart, Capricorn. Now, this is a very interesting comment on the fixed nature of Scorpio, because Capricorn really is the most fixed of the cardinal signs. Cardinal signs are about change. The cardinal signs are about initiation. They are about this tendency that humans have to lunge ahead, to get things going, to initiate, to form tribes, to take care of each other, to move, to shake, to make changes. Capricorn would be the slowest moving, the most fixed of the cardinal signs. So it's kind of a fixed-ish sign, except, and you have this on your third house, right? The house of thought. And so when you're thinking about what makes Scorpio Scorpio, what is this property that's this kind of structured approach and clear rules and some black and white thinking, think Capricorn. Think Capricorn on your third house, which is very much enamored of the rules and the structure and the proper form that oneself and one's society are supposed to take. And if having Saturn in your sign has not been enough to shake you loose and make sure that you are actually willing to say uncle and make changes, there is this long, sweeping transit of Pluto through Capricorn, which spans from 2008 till 2024. No kidding. That's a long transit. Pluto is slowing down. Pluto has recently been the closest that it gets to the sun. It's now moving in its orbit further out from the sun. The orbit's egg-shaped, Pluto's orbit, and so Pluto will be spending more and more time in each sign, peaking out in at least 20 years in a sign coming up fairly soon. So now Pluto's going a lot slower in Capricorn than it did in Sag, and it's been creeping through and undermining the structure of your thought process. It has been almost as if having an evolutionary influence injected into your thought process where you're suddenly willing to consider anything. You're willing to literally change your mind about anything when you know you need to change your mind. And sometimes it's possible that you just wake up and say, I just changed my mind about that. And it really was that simple. Now, can it always be? But hey, Pluto is helping. What is now happening in this year's solar return chart for you is that Mars, the traditional ruler of your sign is making a conjunction with Pluto, this tectonic force moving through Capricorn, which is the modern ruler of your sign, and the two are joining forces, and they are presenting you with an unusually interesting and powerful opportunity to make very big decisions, to actually think through the structure of your life, or if necessary, to make the adaptations that you need to make to certain external circumstances. Because sometimes life is dictated by external circumstances. If a hurricane wipes your house out, you've just had an experience and you must address that. There's no, you know, meditating that away. You can meditate and make peace with it, but your house is still, chances are, going to be washed away. I'm open to quantum possibilities that you can think your house back into existence. Most people can't think their house back into existence. And so there's the need to adapt to the outer world. And whether you are making inner changes or whether you're making outer changes, the real strength of Mars conjunct Pluto is the activation of the evolutionary force by the power of will. And the meeting of the power of will, which is Mars, the power of intention, the power of choice, the ability to actually deploy energy and move, the ability to take action, to fight, to do whatever Mars might represent, meeting a pre-existing evolutionary force in your mind, in your soul's evolution, and that is the conjunction of Mars and Saturn. So that is a mutual activation, which might, for example, feel like Pluto in Capricorn can be associated with many thought evolutions for you, many ways of thinking in new ways. And when that is encountered by Mars, that can be the time to act on those changes. Looked at another way, you may not have necessarily been so aware of the movement of Pluto through Capricorn, the movement of this evolutionary process of thought. And Mars comes along like a hot red cue ball and just kind of pings Pluto and wakes up that evolutionary impulse where you know, for example, that it's time to start taking this process of thought evolution, meaning how you think about yourself, seriously. Now, one of the things that makes, I'm going to go on for one more thought here. One of the things that makes the presence of Saturn in your sign especially interesting when combined with the combination of Mars and Pluto in Capricorn is that if you know some basic astrology, you know that Saturn rules Capricorn and Mars and Pluto rule Scorpio. They are occupying one another's signs, and it's unusual to have two such well-established rulers of one sign together in mutual reception to another planet, which in this case is Saturn in your sign. So there is, if you can organize yourself, if you can see the changes you need to make and direct yourself, you have that power. So you really have much, much more than Saturn in your sign. You have Saturn in your sign nearing the end of its run, but this is a very important time to make sure that things go well. I know that there's a whole philosophy of beginnings being the most important thing and all of that, and I would say that that the end of cycles in astrology are especially crucial to pay attention to, that the way that we draw the process to a conclusion, is vitally important. And what you have now is Saturn very late in your sign, combined with this kind of like afterburn quality, this extra mojo coming from the Mars-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn. And they are combining with one another and giving you an unusual ability to make not only structural changes, not only environmental changes, but the corresponding, what every spiritual teacher and philosopher pretty much agrees is the essential underlying renovation of your thought process. You can actually make meta changes to your mind, not only decisions, not only changing opinions about things that you may have held for a long time, but also deeper changes than that, where the whole underlying pattern that creates your thoughts changes, and you choose the way in which that changes. So I say all of this knowing that this is a really challenging time, that you are quite possibly feeling like you've really fucking had enough. And yet, at the same time, it is vitally necessary to, to kind of keep it together. I'm going to read to you something that appeared to me out of this thing called the Oracle, which is a device that's on the Planet Wave site that I designed. I did not personally write the algorithm, but I understand that the algorithm is based on a random choice of horoscope by the time of day that the button is pushed, and you type the question in, and you get an answer. And fairly recently, I was really having a hard time, and I went to the Oracle and I asked, "What was this about?" And clicked the button, and I got the following, which was the Scorpio weekly horoscope from September 10th, 1999, almost all the way back to the beginning of that archive. And it said, "Inch by inch, you're working your way to a more healthy view of life and sense of your own potential. I'm aware that these have not been especially easy years, or for that matter, decades, to be alive as a Scorpio. There's been so much crisis, so many lessons, so much of what seemed like pointless loss, with the constant expectation that things would go crazy again. And though it may not be clear to you now, your process of cleaning up from all the disasters of the past is finally drawing to a close. But it's vital that you not lose your grip now, that you maintain your persevering attitude and not take anything for granted." All right, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in a digital instant. And by the way, you are listening to a musical composition from today by somebody named Casey Smith. Thanks for listening. Back in a digital instant.